Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, already in progress.
Now, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about this. Just like Franz with a car wreck.
He wasn't through with you, was he, Franz?
He still had something for you to do. Otherwise, he would have killed you in that car wreck. But he wasn't through with you. Just like my friend.
He wasn't through with him. He had something else for him to do.
Just like me the day I was under the 20,000 pounds of steel in Houston. When the Lord spoke to me and said, son, go do your paperwork. I said, Lord, I'd just like 15 minutes under here, then I'll go do it. And he said, no, son, go do it now. So I crawled out mother and took two steps. And the supporting structure holding 20,000 pounds of steel exploded, and 20,000 pounds of steel was laying on the ground right where I was 5 seconds before. Now, who's in the miracle business?
Jesus.
Is he running the show?
Yes.
Yes. Did he save all these people, all three of these stories we talked about? Was he there?
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, the other day I was talking to Larry, a good friend of mine. He's a retired American Airlines captain. Years ago, he was going to Houston. In fact, he was 18 or 19 years old. And he loved to fly airplanes. So the company here in Dallas had a small, one of those little amphibian airplanes that they wanted him to fly, deliver to Houston. But it was kind of a bad day. It was raining and everything. He said, I don't mind flying in the rain. In fact, I love flying in the rain. He said, I'll take that thing to Houston. So they said, okay, if you want, oh yeah, I don't have no problem flying in the rain. He said, there's no problems. So he goes there and gets in this thing, cranks up and heads to Houston. He's on final approach, on an I-4 approach. Can't see a thing. It's all cloudy and sticks of fog and everything else. But this don't bother this boy. He's got instruments, you know. He's a good instrument pilot. And he's young, so he has no knowledge of what can happen. And so he's flying in on final, and all of a sudden the tower called him and said, we have a jet right behind you. Can you do a ride 360 and let him come in front of you so we can get him on the ground? Otherwise, he's going to have to go around and make a big deal. He said, sure, no problem. I'm just out here having fun. So he said, I'll make a right turn. He made a right turn. He said he made that turn, pulled out. That jet went by. Of course, he couldn't see it. But anyway, the jet went by and jet got landed. And the guy told him, he said, okay, you're cleared to make another approach. The jet's on the ground. So he said, I turned around on my approach and started to make that approach. And all of a sudden, that little engine and that little amphibian airplane just quit dead silence. If there's anything a pilot don't like to hear, it's that silence. So the engine quit. So he thought, oh, now then, you know, he's not been praying. He's been having fun. But now then, all of a sudden, he's praying. Lord, I got to have some help. Was that a good time to pray?
Amen.
Lord, I got to have some help. Now, I know this guy very well. He's a good friend of mine. And he said, so I started down through the clouds and saying, Lord, I got to have some help. Now, this is Friday night at 6 p.m. in the dark in a rainstorm in Houston, Texas, right over I-10. As he comes down out of the clouds, gets down about 800 or 900 feet, all of a sudden he drops out, and there he can see the road below him, I-10, and for a half a mile on the lane he's on, there's not one single car in the road. Not one. I mean, I realize it's like that all the time in Houston. Y'all know that? Have you been to Houston lately? He's lined up and he says, Lord, the road is perfectly clear. Thank you. He really didn't realize that God had done this for him. But he's praising the Lord anyway. He comes flying in. He comes right over the top of like a Corvette or something. A guy's driving 60 miles an hour. Of course, he's driving about 75. He flies right over the top. He said, I thought my wheels were going to hit right on his hood. Said I went right over the top of him and said, then of course, then I hit the ground, started braking and everything. And I pulled off up there and there was a big old swing out right there on the road. I pulled out, just coasted, pulled up and turned around like this and said, a couple of cops come running up and said, what happened? He said, my engine quit. And they said, wow, are you a lucky guy? They said, I don't think I've ever seen I-10 have no traffic for a half a mile. Never, ever, since I've been a police officer. But anyway, next morning he called the tower and they sent some mechanics out there and they got the thing all fixed up and everything. The next morning after he gets ready to go and they got gas in it again and it wasn't out of gas, it was something wrong with the fuel system, I think. But anyway, they got the airplane all ready to go and he goes out there and cranks it up and starts to taxi out and he happens to look up and he says, God! Where did all them high tension power lines come from? Of course, at night, See, he said, Lord, how in the world did I fly through all them high tension power lines and not hit a single line? And he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, when we come through the high tension power lines, I was flying, not you. Who's in control of everything? Do you know what the chances are of a boy at night and Friday night with that, having an engine failure downtown Houston, flying through all them lines and not hitting a single high tension line? You know what the chances of that are? It's impossible. But he went through that, and that's just like he said when I said, Thurman, he said, when I looked up and said, dear God, how did I get through all them lines without hitting? And he said, just clear. The Lord said, son, when we come through the lines, that's when I was flying. Is God your kid? He's a pretty good pilot.
Yes.
People say, you know, God is my co-pilot. I said, you got to be kidding me. Woo! I want him as my captain. I want to be the co-pilot. I want God flying my airplane. But you know, when you really get a hold of God and who he is and what he wants to do, just like Franz says, he's good if we're an obedient children. He's good all the time, isn't he, Franz? Even sometimes when we're not too good, he's still good. Okay, let's go to verse 27 in this right quick. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Let's look at this. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations now is made manifest to his saints. What in the world is that secret? God's got a secret he has not shared with us. But now he's telling us, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, he said this was to his saints. That's us. That's not to the world. The world don't understand what the next scripture I'm fixing to read you in verse 27. Let's see what verse 27 says. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many times in your life have you been talking to somebody about the Lord and they'll say, wow. They'll say, me and God have a deal. He's up there. No, he's not up there, is he? Yeah, he is up there, but he's not just up there, is he? What is the mystery that was hidden? Where is he? Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know what? Did you know the reason we don't get things done? It's because we fail to remember that he's in us. We're praying and say, oh, dear God, please, if it be your will. That's not what he wants to hear, is it? Is it his will to always heal his daughters?
Yes.
Why did it take you so long to get healed? Because you didn't get it. You're just like the rest of us. You're a human being.
Yes.
And that's my problem. The reason that I didn't get healed at times, because I didn't get it either. You got to realize who he is. That's just like the time Mike was over there trying to work on that, get that pin out of that little gear on that Volkswagen or whatever it was. Some of y'all heard him tell that testimony, and that's the neatest testimony. I'm one of the neatest ones I ever heard, especially since I was raised up in the mechanic world just like he was. Me and him both know how easy it is to pull a pin out of a hole on a gear, on a set of gears. It's simple, and he can't pull it out. He can't pull that pin out. I mean, he nearly breaks a pair of pliers trying to pull the pin out. He tears the top of the pin off, and his lovely wife comes out there an hour or two later and says, honey, what's wrong? Are we going to be here all night? I think by this time, 10 or 11 o'clock, wasn't it, Gracie? We're going to be here all night? She says, honey, I can't get this pin out of this gear. She said, well, have you prayed about it yet? Thank God for a smart wife, right? Of course, Mike being the big old boy, honey, I don't have to pray. I can do this. Now, see, that's the way we do things. That used to do things, right, Mike? He's trying to, but honey, I can pull that pin out. I can do this. But he can't. Finally, she said, well, if you want to be here all night, then just don't pray. But if you want to get it done, go ahead and pray. She said, okay, God, I need some help to pull the pin out. He knows he don't need no help. He knows he's a great big old strong boy. He knows I'm trying to say, here's a 200-pound chunk of steel over here. I mean, this boy has worked on cars. He picks up engines and all. I mean, he's tough. And he knows he don't need no help pulling a pin out. That weighs about an ounce. And so whenever his wife wants him to do it, he kind of gets angry a little bit and says, okay, God, I need some help to get this pin out. Thank you, Lord, for the help. Now, he was really upset. So he reaches up there and just takes the hold of that little pin, and what happened?
Came out.
It just pulled right out. That changed Mike's life forever right there. He will never be the same boy. Because just like you said, once you've seen it, you can never be the same. I mean, to think God was trying to get Mike's attention that day, son, I love you, but I want to have a little intimacy with you before you pull the pen out of this. I want you to talk to me. And he didn't have time to talk. He'd been working all day. He's already put in 12 or 14 or 16 hours, and he ain't got time to talk to God. He's got to get this engine done so he can get it out of here. But God's saying, you ain't going to get that pen out until you talk to me. Isn't that amazing? And the minute he talked to him, that pen came out. Some of you heard him tell that testimony yourself, didn't you? Wasn't that a good testimony? It was a great testimony. But will God do the same thing for each one of us? Yes, he will. I mean, he's amazing. He's absolutely an amazing God. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how far away from us as his children, once he delivers us from the kingdom of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of light, how far away is he? He's never far away. He's in you. I mean, that's as intimate as you can get. He's in you, and he wants you to tell him how much you love him and praise him and worship him. Does he not? He loves praise. All right, let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 12. We'll read a few verses in 2:12. Let's see what he says there. He says in chapter 2, verse 12, we're buried with him in baptism. Now, like I say, if you're a son or a daughter of God and you've never been baptized, immersed in water, you need to be, because that's the only way that counts. Being sprinkled or whatever don't count, and according to God's word, you need to be buried with him in baptism. I mean, submersed in water. You need to be, that's a symbol of your death, and you need to die. Everybody needs to die as a Christian. Whenever we accept Jesus, we need to be buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And to you being dead in your sins. Now, this is the most difficult thing that we do as sons and daughters of God, realizing that we are dead. I am dead. You're dead to sin. That's exactly right. You're dead to sin. We see ourselves as alive to the world. We don't see ourselves as dead to sin or dead to the things of the world.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website, www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.